Welcome to The Human Beat. I am Roger Rocca. This morning, we'll hear part two of our conversation with former Mayor Willis Van Dusen. Willis's roots in Astoria date back to 1847, when his great-great-grandfather, Adam, and wife Caroline got here after a six-month journey from Michigan by wagon train. One of the defining characteristics of Willis Van Dusen's 24 years as mayor of Astoria is that citizens who spoke up at council meetings were made to feel that they had been listened to and heard.
Well, Roger, I will take the compliment, thank you. And I worked very hard but enjoyed every minute being the mayor. But I think one of the things that made my term more successful was I fought City Hall. I went to those meetings, and at least they gave the impression they weren't listening. Just in their posture, they wouldn't even look at me. I go, I'd prepare, I'd be ready all week, get there, and I didn't think I was being listened to. And, you know, it's intimidating if you've never been. I remember the first time, you know, I'm fighting this rats thing, I got my stupid badge on, but I hadn't been in a city council chamber. And you get up there to the microphone, and the city council is elevated, and you have the press there. And I always felt it was more effective to, instead of being a jury member, or please bring me all your information and I'll make a decision, be a private detective. If someone's having trouble in their neighborhood, go see it. Go see it on their terms. Well, you're in someone's backyard. They're completely relaxed. Have a seat. Let me tell you the problem. You see that? See this? You see this? Much different than you have 2 minutes.
Yeah.
State what you have to say. And if there's any questions, I never had a time limit. And I think it would be more effective if they don't. By putting a time limit before you even get started, you're at a disadvantage if you really have something you want to express. And people are understanding that you can't go on forever and ever and ever. You don't have to have a time clock there. But if we had a big agenda, this is one of my funny deals, I would tell Paul Benoit before the meeting, I'm going to cut you off, Paul. Be ready for this. Because if I'm going to cut the city manager off, that's going to get everyone's attention. So early on in the meeting, all right, we're going to get some new hoses for the Parks Department. Paul, will you please hurry up? You are taking too long. We've got 30 people out here that want to talk about things important, and you're going on too long. Hurry up. Well, then the next guy that gets up goes, I don't remember. Well, there, of course, there were long meetings, but I don't remember any problem with the time limit. And I appreciate your compliment because I really did my effort. And there were people I didn't listen to. But I acted like I was listening. At least I had good posture.
Can you think of what you might be most happy with about your time on the council? I mean, that's a long period of time you spent there. Are there some things, I don't want you to pick one, but are there things that stick out for you that you think, I'm glad we got that done?
Earlier on, Roger, I talked about how you and I didn't agree on everything, but I knew you listened. Mm-hmm. And I wish I would have listened more, but I am very proud of the fact that I did listen. And here's another example of something I take full credit for, and I was dead against it. The roundabout. They wanted to put in, I'd never heard of a roundabout, and they went in there and talked about it, and Doug Thompson, who Doug and I disagreed on all kinds of stuff, he wanted the roundabout. But I did listen to him. Mm-hmm. Where would we be without that roundabout?
Oh my God.
Before, the traffic is 10 times more than it was. And back then, there were lines everywhere. But it was not a matter of, okay, he wants it, then I don't. It wasn't at all. I said, all right, we'll do it. And it was a huge success. And Doug, if you're listening, I give you all the credit for that roundabout, 100%.
And you can see the difference if you're traveling across the bridge from Astoria to Warrenton, it's always in the summer backed way up because there's stoplights.
Yes.
If you're traveling from Warrenton to Astoria, it usually keeps moving pretty well.
Yes.
And the roundabout is the difference there.
The roundabout is the difference. Yeah. And it's not really a roundabout, but the other intersection is down there, the Cannon Beach Junction. Mm-hmm. The traffic used to line up until they put in that very fancy overpass. But, I mean, you wouldn't want to drive that way. You'd be at a stop sign there for a long period of time. But I guess that's what I'm most proud of, is listening to other people's ideas, because two heads are better than one.
They are.
They just are.
Well, even at the time, ODOT was not a fan of a roundabout either. They had made some roundabouts in other places, and they made these very tiny roundabouts, and they didn't work.
Well, in Portland, you'll see these roundabouts in little tiny neighborhoods where you get one car every 10 minutes. I mean, we're talking about Highway 101.
Right.
And it was very good, but I was dead against it. I didn't know what it was. I don't know what it is, so I don't like it. But I mean, but by listening, and there's other things that Doug listened to me too, so it worked out. It that's what I'm most proud of, is listening.
Well, bring us up to today. I notice when I travel around town that I'm seeing the Van Dusen name on quite a few things, maybe new things.
No, you are correct, but it's not a big master plan. So let's talk about. Well, the name on it now is Van Dusen Mercantile, but it was Robie's for years, and it was Hunt's TV before that. Now, how did we get involved in that? Well, I mean, there's no secrets from me. Mike Brownlee owned that building, and he owned Hunt's TV and Appliance, because he used to work for Mr. Hunt. But anyway, he was very good friends of my brother. Now, they're 7 years older than me, so I was in the fifth grade when they were seniors in high school. So we did not hang out together at all. But he was over at the house the whole time. So I knew Mike very well. Well, when Robie's decided to build their new building in Warrington, I get a call from Mike Brownlee. I hadn't talked to him for a long time. Willis, how are you? Fine, Mike, what are you doing? I want to sell that building. I go, I don't want that building. What am I going to do with that building? He goes, well, I got to sell it to you. I'll make it a good deal for you. And by the way, that's a really interesting building, and I don't want to get too far off track here. It's really five buildings with one roof.
Really?
There's five addresses there, and you can walk in between the buildings. It's quite an interesting building. But anyway, so Mike held the paper. I didn't go to the bank for it. I owed the money to Mike. And the idea was to develop something there because it's almost a full city block, and it's built very well, and those floors are gorgeous. But I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But, I mean, I kept saying, I don't want it, Mike. Well, I'll do this. You know, don't worry about a down payment. I'll do that. Okay. So then we got very involved, and, you know, the state of Oregon, the Department of Human, what is it, DHL, Human Resources, was over there, which everyone calls the blue building. It hasn't been a blue building in 20 years. But over there in the former building, they had to move out of it, and they're going to move into it. Now, that's not my wheelhouse. I'm really good at selling Pepsi and Dr. Pepper. I don't know how to develop a building. And the son of my football coach, all these old-time connections, Vince Dulcich was my football coach. And his son, Tom, who passed away, unfortunately, was in my class. But the younger brother, John, is a developer. And I called John just cold. I go, John, you're a developer. What do you think about this? And he came out and looked at it, and John has bought it from us. Mm-hmm. So we owned it for a very short period of time, I think 2 years. But it's going to be the state office building. And John has made the decision to keep the name Van Dusen Mercantile. Now, Van Dusen Mercantile, as we talked earlier today, was the original business back from 1849 for that little history connection. So the truth is, we're going to get the name Van Dusen on there, and we don't have any ownership, any decision-making. I am so honored by that. Such a nice gesture by the Dulcich family. And Vince was my football coach. And then Tom and Jim went to high school with me. I mean, John, my friend now who bought it, much younger, he's 10 years younger than I am. I never ran around with him. He's too young for me. But his mother, Mrs. Dulcich, Donna Marie, and you don't ever call her Donna or Marie. It's always Donna Marie. Mm-hmm. Donna Marie was my speech teacher. I still have a speech impediment of a lisp.
We do.
Yes, and she... And I have to concentrate on it. And if I get tired, I'll start lisping again. Mm-hmm. But it was Donna Marie Dulcich taught. And I didn't like being a speech teacher. I didn't like talking, being told as a third and fourth grader that I had a speech impediment.
Right.
But I'm sure glad she taught me. And I talked to her about it. She still very active and doing great. I thank her all the time. So I had this connection with the family. First, the family with Brownlee because of my brother, and then the connection because of my speech teacher. She wasn't a speech teacher. She was a, what is that called, a speech?
Therapist.
Therapist.
Yeah.
The speech therapist. And that's how that developed. And John is thrilled with that building. And is, you know, the poorest people, I don't know if that's the right word or not, but the poorest people, the people that need the state of Oregon the most, will be able to benefit from that building. Because people that in Owens Adair, that they're expanding in the John Jacob Astor Hotel, they were going to put all these services in Warrenton.
Yeah.
And just getting there, taking a taxi to Warrenton is expensive.
Yeah.
And a lot of those things, you have to show up in person for food stamps, unemployment, domestic violence, all those things will be in that building. And it'll be there right on a, you know, on a bus route and in walking distance to many people. So I'm just thrilled what's going to happen with that building. And the little part I played in it was just getting it from Mike Brownlee and moving it over to Dulcich. And I end up getting the name in there.
That's good.
Yeah. And we didn't lose any money. We didn't make any money. But, I mean, it is going to be, it's going to be just what we need. I'm thrilled with it.
Well, another name out there, I think it's Van Dusen Pier.
Yes. Now,
tell
let me explain that one. Okay. Well, that was for years called Tide Point. It was Tide Point Grocery, Tide Point Restaurant, all that stuff. We weren't looking for anything other than to park our trucks. Now, when we started with our beverage company, Coca-Cola was in Astoria, Budweiser was in Astoria, Miller was in Astoria. All the distributors were in Astoria. We're the only ones left. Mm. And I want to stay in Astoria. Now, land is important. Where do we park our trucks, especially the spare trucks or the big trucks? We used to park them over where they're building the new hospital. For 20 years, it was a former Astoria School District bus barn. So we rented that from the hospital. They told us from day one, someday we're going to kick you out. We bought this thing to expand the hospital. Well, you know, I knew it was going to happen someday. I didn't know it was going to be today. Now, where do we go? I don't want to leave Astoria. Our main office, our facility there by Annie's on 29th Street works fine, except for there's not enough acreage. And so we found that piece of property, and that's why all those trucks are parked over there. But there is a much higher and better use, just like there is for that building that went to Dulcich. And when that opportunity comes, I'm going to be very anxious to pass it on. And, you know, I got this quote from a movie from Crocodile Dundee. But all the, you know, all the commercial fishermen from, not all of them, but many of them in Young's River were very nervous when we bought that because they need to launch their boats there and there's a dock there and it's very part of the Young's Bay fishery. You know, and so we had a big meeting down in England Marine. What are you going to do with that building? You know, I go, calm down, everybody. And I got this line from Crocodile Dundee. It was, you know, it's like a bunch of fleas fighting over who owns the St. Bernard. I go, people have been fishing right here for hundreds of years, long before Lewis and Clark came here. We're not going to change that. We can all use this. I'm not going to charge anybody anything. That is, it's not mine.
Yeah.
Just because it's not mine at all. And now those fishermen are my night watchmen. We've had no vandalism. Nobody's even let the air out of any tires. And, you know, even over there by the hospital, we'd have a battery missing now and then or something. It has worked out great. Talk about a win-win-win situation.
That's great.
And, you know, they add to it. Like you told me earlier, you've gone down there. Seeing those, the fishermen out there with the nets and the net pens, it's spectacular.
It's a beautiful spot.
It's a beautiful spot.
It really is.
And there has been some the Bowie Beer for a while talked about moving over there, and they decided not to. But anyway, there will come a higher and better use. And when that day comes, it'll be available for them.
Well, we have Van Dusen's, Doctors Van Dusen in town. We have a lot of folks carrying on the name in town.
Well, I'm really very lucky that that my four kids have stayed in Astoria. We have a very diverse family now. The in-laws of my children, we have one of them that was born and raised in Serbia. Mm-hmm. And Cidovic is their last name, and that's my daughter Trudy. Mm-hmm. She married George Cidovic. And then Rachel, who is Dr. Van Dusen, she's a surgeon at CMH. And by the way, you know, she's on the faculty of OHSU, but she operates out of Astoria. Mm-hmm. So she gets the quote-unquote the status of being, I'm on the faculty of OHSU located in Astoria, and she loves that. But anyway, she married Evandro, born and raised in Brazil. So now we've got a Serbian and a Brazilian. And they both have two children. And then my son, Willis Jr., married a doctor, an OBGYN from Ghana, Africa, and Fatima. And Fatima and Willis Jr. have two kids. And to have, sit around at a family gathering and have the input of diversity from a black immigrant woman from Africa, mm-hmm. as my daughter-in-law, and a kid from Brazil, and someone from Serbia, and then the fourth one's from Corvallis, which is just as bad. No, I'm kidding. But and then the Kristen is married to Matt Zedwick, who is from Corvallis, and they own the Columbia Veterinary Clinic.
Right.
They're the vets there, and by the way, Matt Zedwick is a war hero. He was the first National Guardsman from Oregon to be awarded the Silver Star since World War II. And he was in Iraq, and he saved some guys that a landmine had gone off in a Humvee. Mm-hmm. But it's a very diverse family now. I'm very proud of that.
It's a diverse family that sort of is, I think, the America that some of us treasure most. Yeah. I mean, the idea that we are this melting pot that brings people.
Well, melting pot is the right, yeah. is the right. And you know, Evandro speaks Portuguese as his first language. And Serbian is what George speaks. So George, Trudy's family, who's married to George, have kind of picked up on Serbian. They can speak Serbian. And then Rachel, they can speak Portuguese. And then there's a dialect from Ghana. But it's really interesting. I'm just thrilled. It's really made our family. And, of course, Matt Zedwick from Corvallis, he speaks English.
Ah. They speak that in Corvallis.
Yes, right. Yeah, they do.
Pretty amazing. Are there other things that you'd like to talk about that I haven't brought up?
I think we live in the greatest spot on earth, and I'm not exaggerating. I mean, over the weekend, when this weather, if we had the weather we've had over the weekend, we'd have 200,000 people that want to be here. And the other interesting thing about Astoria, I have so many people come and say, well, geez, you are the mayor, and, you know, Astoria still has its the uniqueness and the old feeling downtown. It's not the box stores, it's not that. Mm-hmm. Well, there's only, in my opinion, there's only one reason why. That was not any planning by the city leaders. That was geography. There's no place for a Walmart.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest, Roger, when I first became the mayor, had we had a spot for Walmart? Come on in.
Oh, sure. Well, there were parades for McDonald's, weren't there?
Yeah, there was a high school parade for McDonald's. And I'll tell you, if you sit there and you look out at a Columbia River, and just imagine that's a valley, not a river, we wouldn't have the town we have now. We would have stuck everything out there.
Yeah.
We would have thought, this is the way to go. We want to be like Beaverton.
Yeah.
And so it's very unique, but a lot of it was a topography and the geography is why we're so unique. And I'm glad it is.
I think what's happened since then, though, and that's—I'm sure that is how it started. But now the ethos of the people who live here, I think, has shifted to where it would be very difficult now for someone to do some of those things, even if there were space, because that's not what people who live here want anymore. They want. Most of us who live here love this place. As you say, this is the best place in the world
right.
to live. Rain or no rain, you know, it's still...
We used to always say ABC, Astorian by choice. Mm-hmm. We live here because we choose to live here. Mm-hmm. I mean, you came from California. Isn't that where you were?
We were in California before, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I agree with you. And the political favor, or what you want to call, and the needs of the people have changed dramatically. And that's good. I mean, think if we hadn't changed since Adam Van Dusen. I mean, it has changed many times, and sometimes better, sometimes worse. I mean, the military here, when Tongue Point was a Navy base, was all of Emerald Heights, all of, that was all military. We were a military town for a long time. And then we were just logging and fishing. And now it's more and more, and there's still good logging or mm-hmm. lumber, and there's still good fishing, and there's a lot more diversity. Trying to do some of the things we would have done had we had the land, put in Fred Meyer in a box store, the Costco and all that, I don't think it would ever happen now. And yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing we haven't talked about is the Chinese contribution here, like with the Garden of Surging Waves. 20% of the town was Chinese. You know, I got to tell you a story. This is, I'll make it as fast as I can.
No, I was hoping you would take
okay,
your time.
Okay, so my grandfather, Lloyd Van Dusen, he after my grandmother died, he lived in an apartment right above, at that time it was the Al Drugstore, now it's Carruthers Restaurant, upstairs there. That's where he lived. And it was a great place to watch the regatta parade. As kids, we'd all go up there and open the window and watch the regatta parade. All right. Well, that's where he lives. So anyway, when he did pass away, I was in college. I came home, and then we were cleaning up his apartment. And, you know, there's old check registers and everything. And there was this photograph that we had a big cardboard box for throwing all the garbage in. This photograph kind of fell out on the ground. And it was a group of Chinese, all different ages, sitting in front of this shack. And then we got him, we threw it back in the box. Then we went down the steps and we had a pickup there. We threw the box in the pickup. The same picture came out. We got it up, threw it back in the box. Then we went down to our warehouse. There was a dumpster. We threw third time the picture came out. So my dad just threw it on the dashboard, and Art Chan from Chan Studio grew up here with my dad, and he was my dad's closest Chinese friend. So he brought it down to Art. Now, Art was the photographer of Astoria. Took all the graduation pictures, wedding pictures, all the pictures. Brought it down. He says, Art, I don't know if you know this. Here's a picture. Art Chan started to shake. He goes, that's me. That's my mother. That's my grandfather. That's my uncle. It's the only picture the Chan family had of his family.
Wow.
And we threw it away three times. And they were all, and my grandfather just walked by, and, you know, it's not fun sometimes to remember how the past was, but he saw this Chinese family, and they were all sitting, you know, on their heels, and I think he thought it was a very interesting picture. I had no idea that they would become family friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they repaired that photograph and had it all framed. It was very important to their family, made copies for everyone.
Well, speaking of the Chinese influence here, one of my other favorite interviews that I've done since I've been here, it was with Duncan Law.
Oh, what a great man.
You know Duncan.
Yes.
And an amazingly gifted and accomplished person who was as humble as he could be.
Yes.
And with a sense of humor. As you mentioned, humor is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
You know some of the stories he used to tell. He used to say, and Duncan was very short in stature, and he used to say they were going to build a statue of me by the Seafood Center here. They named it after him. But they decided not to because they were afraid people would trip over it.
That sounds like Duncan.
Yeah.
That sounds like. Now, see, his son who's in town, Robbie, or I don't know if he goes by Robbie anymore, Dr. Rob Law, mm-hmm. was in my class. He was our student body president, but that was Duncan's kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so the family just keeps going on. It's
it's a great family.
It's a great family. And, you know, the other thing he did, you know, one of those things where he got lost. He had the governor here. He was going to give the governor a ride from his laboratory was down by the East End mooring basin. But he acted like he got lost, and he took him out to show him net pens. He goes, I got this idea. Instead of having the fish grow up instead of having these concrete hatcheries, this is much better because they'll be eating the food they're going to be eating in the, instead of having humans feed them pellets, we'll have the tide bring them in. They're going to be out there with their the other fish and the other problems they have. They'll be much healthier.
Which is brilliant.
Which is brilliant. Yeah. And but that was, he says, oh, I'm sorry, I got lost, Governor. Oh, but look at this right here. So, yeah. Duncan was on the city council for 12 years.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, he was.
In fact, that's one thing that I learned that during the short time I was on the city council, is however you vote, you're going to please some people, you're going to irritate others, and you're going to make some pretty angry. And during my time on the council, I had to make some votes that I knew good friends of mine in the audience were not going to like. And you just have to do it.
You just have to do it.
You have to think, what am I here for? What am I supposed to be doing?
I have several votes that I would not have voted that way today, and I hurt some feelings and all that, and I wasn't right. I was wrong. But I mean, you just have to. You have to do your best.
What you believe is right at the time.
At the time, that's all you can do.
But there are some people who I respect and admire very much that I know at that time. It was not the vote that they wanted.
Well, and like before I got involved in the council, I took it very personally.
Yeah.
And that helped me also, Roger, because I'd say something. I know how you feel because I'm going to vote in a way you don't want me to.
Yeah.
And the council did that when I was trying to get on here. But I'm doing what I think is the best, and here's why. And most of the time, they accept that.
Yeah.
It's not what I wanted to hear, but at least you're telling me the straight why you're voting it.
Yeah.
So, Roger, when people ask me, do you miss being the mayor? Yes, I do. Of course I do. But I do think I made the right decision. And let me tell you how things changed. When I was first the mayor, and there would be a high-profile meeting, and there had to be votes you didn't want to make, I'd get home and it'd be done with. I'd maybe get a call from Skip Houckey or from Lauren Matthews saying, I'm really sorry about the way that meeting went. And I'd literally say, what are you talking about? Well, that when that person, when Emmy Roach said you were a liar. Oh, God, that was no big deal. Didn't bother me at all. Don Webb, didn't bother me at all. Time went on. At first, I thought people are changing. They weren't as nice as they used to be. The truth is, I was changing. I was, the cushion was going away. Now I'd go home after a meeting, and I'd tell my wife, you know what Don Webb said tonight? I mean, Don's up in heaven now. God bless you, Don. But he never bothered me before, and these people were bothering me. And so it dawned on me, it's time for me to move on. Let someone else do this. Because that's not a good mayor, to get all irritated with anybody who says something. Yeah. That's not. So, yes, I miss it, but it was definitely the right decision not to run again. Anyway, well, thank you, Roger.
Thanks, Willis.
We've been talking with Willis Van Dusen, who served as Astoria's mayor for 24 years. This is The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. Thanks for listening.